I want to talk about the issue of injustice or justice, because this is a major issue in so many people's lives. So many people live their lives with this struggle, this bitterness, this look back in anger thing, that it wasn't fair. Justice was not done. People take people to court because they want to see justice done. And most of us have to go through life with the struggles of injustice that never came to any form of court, was never given any justice. And people get angry with God, you know. And it happens in church life. You know, my daughter was disfellowshipped because she married out of the faith, but the guys who disfellowshipped her, they were having affairs, they were materialistic, and they weren't very spiritual people, but she's a lovely girl. She just married a bloke who, you know, wasn't a believer, or whatever it might be. It's not fair. It's not right that, you know, for example, I as a black person am definitely discriminated against. Where's the justice in this world? It's not right that I work so hard in my life and I can never get above minimum wage, but these other guys are totally corrupt and crooked and have a great life and go up the ladder. And it's all not just, it's not right. Now, this leads to a lot of deep anger and bitterness. It's not fair. It's not just. And the problem is that it leads people to problems in their relationship with God. And so I want to just give no smart answers, I'm afraid, but a few windows, a few perspectives onto it. First thing I want to stress is that God is ultimately just. Yahweh, this is Psalm 145, 17, Yahweh is just, righteous in all his ways, and gracious in all his works. And that psalm, previous to that, has been talking about how the natural creation actually demonstrates that. Now, in that psalm, I think it's used in the context of the exiles who were thinking that it wasn't fair that they were in captivity because they were suffering for the sins of their fathers, as they imagined. And Ezekiel also addresses that issue. So, first of all, I think we have to accept that by faith and by trust, that in the end, God is just. And if you say that he isn't, you've got to remember that the word for justice is that for righteousness. You are impugning his character. You are implying that he is unrighteous. But all the injustice in this world, why is it there then? Well, I suppose you could say it is to make us long for his kingdom, ultimately. And yet, those who haven't got that focus and want everything now, give me the answer now, sort it all out now, give me the kingdom now, won't see that. In Jeremiah 22:13, woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his rooms by injustice. You see the connection between justice and righteousness there. The one who uses his neighbor's labor without wages and doesn't give him his hire. It's clearly talking about Jehoiakim, really. And so it goes on to say, and why then is this? Well, yeah, the point is, judgment is going to come. And this is why, when the Lord comes, we don't just flit immediately into salvation, into divine nature. That is this whole concept of a day of judgment. And I think that that is there to show us that judgment will be done, and almost in a terrible way. Justice will be achieved. The other thing I think you learn from this thing in Jeremiah 22 about God noticing the man who builds rooms in his house by injustice to his laborers and to his neighbors, the other simple thing you observe is that God does notice. God notices injustice. It's not that God is blind to it. He absolutely is aware of it. And so in Habakkuk 1, I suppose, is one of the most extensive complaints of a believer to God about injustice. And Habakkuk says, and why will you not save? Why do you look at all this injustice? Why don't you save? Well, Yahweh's salvation is Yehoshua, is Jesus. And at the end of the book, Habakkuk in 3:18 says he rejoices in the God of his salvation. You could say that in spirit he came to the Spirit of Jesus, Yah saves. But he only comes to that, clinging on to it in faith, and that this was going to happen at some point in the future, because of his struggles with the injustice that he'd perceived. And I think that God's further perspective to Habakkuk is that, you know, I actually see all the injustice, not only within my people, but within the Gentile world completely. That's, I think, what you get from Habakkuk 1. But in the end, God's sensitivity to justice has been shown to its full term in the way he has dealt with us in Jesus. Isaiah 63 verse 1, it is I who speak in righteousness or in justice, mighty to save. And so often God's justice or rightness is associated with salvation. And Paul in Romans makes such a big deal about this, that we are justified, we are given justice, we are made right, and yet it's by grace. We stand in the dock and are condemned for our sins, but the judge does not just turn a blind eye and say, okay, yeah, I'll let you off. It's more wonderful than that. It's got more depth to it. We are counted righteous because we are in Christ. This is why I plead with people to get baptized into Christ, to believe in him and to be in Christ, so that you are counted as if you are Jesus. And I would crawl on my hands and knees from one side of Europe to the other if necessary to help people to do that. Believe in him, be in him, and you are counted right. Not just let off, but you are counted right by justice. Now, that is wonderful, that we are counted right. So whatever outrage we feel at injustice, which is, I think, built into our nature to feel outrage at injustice, it's not fair, it's not right, etc., and the endless narrative of human history and existence and conflicts are very much about justice. It's not fair, it's not right. And it's, as I say, as I said to start with, it's the source for so much depression, so much obsession, addiction, anger, bitterness. But the thing is, we have been given the most gracious kind of justice already, and we look forward to an even greater righteousness or justice when finally that salvation that we've received in prospect will be turned into glorious reality, and we will spend eternity praising God for the justice that we received, the righteousness that we were given, even though it was by complete grace. And I think God has worked out his purpose like that with us because he knows our struggle with injustice. So it's not for us to spend a lifetime in resentment, in bitterness, and endless re-stimulation of issues of past injustice, all this look back in anger stuff. We've been saved by grace, and right or justice has triumphed ultimately in the death and resurrection of Jesus, who is Yahweh's righteousness to us, and we, by grace, have been counted right, and it's all been done with integrity. The ultimate justice has been shown to us, the unjust. And that's another thing to bear in mind, that we also are lacking in total justice. He suffered for us, the just for the unjust. So for all your outrage at other people's injustice, remember that you also are unrighteous, are unjust, and have not shown and lived justice as you should have done, and have been saved from the consequence of that by grace. So I hope that these are some, let's say, perspectives to help us with this admittedly very difficult issue of suffering injustice.